The scripture reading today is from Mark 7, verses 24 through 37, and you can find it in the Pew Bible on page 1564. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered the house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence silent. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Blessed be the reading of these words.
Holy God, your words are words of power. You said light, and stars and sun and moon and galaxies were flung across the sky. Your words are words of power, and you wrapped your word in flesh to come and dwell with us as Jesus, our brother, our friend, our guide, our teacher, our Lord. Your words are words of power, and through the ages we have this word passed down to us. I pray that through the gift of your Holy Spirit, these words will live anew, that they will be words that reach into our deepest selves, that they will be words that give us life. Speak your powerful word in this place, in this time, for your people. Speak your word. And may we have ears to hear and hearts ready to answer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm not good at the official thing, so I'm just going to do it right now. On behalf of myself and my co-moderator sister, Ville-Marie Cintron-Olivieri, I bring you greetings from the 223rd General Assembly, which met in St. Louis, Missouri this past summer. You had one of your members there, John. Where are you? There you are. John was there representing the Presbytery of San Francisco, voting, speaking, praying, seeking the will and guidance of the Holy Spirit. You are part of a church that spans the United States, that spans through partnerships this entire world. And I have this amazing honor for the next 2 years to serve you, to serve the Presbyterian Church USA, to travel, to visit, to see, to learn, and to share. So if you see me taking pictures during worship, I'm not texting my husband at home, although he'd like to hear from me. I'm not, you know, posting on Facebook right away. That'll come later. But I want to share the beautiful people that I meet along the way. And that includes you. Thank you so much for having me. Maybe I should stop now. I clearly am. I know Pastor Toby, who was here with you for a while, preached from the lectionary, and I prefer to do that. As a presbytery leader, I often preach in different churches every Sunday, so preaching the lectionary passages helps keep me honest. It means I'm not just picking my favorite things and just talking about the things that are most familiar to me. And maybe Pastor Toby has said this to you before he left, but there are some lectionary passages that when you flip to the next week, you go, oh, that one. Maybe the epistle reading. You know, maybe one of the letters will strike a chord instead. So that was my feeling this week when I turned the page and said, oh, the Syrophoenician woman. And God said, that's where the resonance is. And I said, are you sure about that? God said, yes. So here we are. I want you to think back to when you were a child. Because we were all children. Jesus was a little boy too. As we know, he was born in Bethlehem. He fled with his parents to Egypt to escape King Herod. But then he came back and was raised in Nazareth. We were all raised by someone and made our way here this morning. So think back to when you were little and the kinds of lessons you were taught as a little boy, a little girl, a little child. Think back to the things your parents told you were important, both directly, you know, the direct things like, don't touch your brother again. I have a brother, by the way. And then the indirect things, things you overheard or witnessed or saw. The lessons we learn as children, especially from our parents and those we're close to, those lessons form this bedrock in our lives. And they are the places we return to over and over again. They form our instincts. They form our gut reactions. They form how we approach the world around us. That's what we learn as little children. In fact, a few years ago, there was a study that came out of Harvard studying infants 3 months old, 4 months old, and the study showed that at that young age, 3 months, 4 months old, an infant could identify its tribe, its people. The baby who could barely see, who couldn't talk, who could only communicate through crying, already knew who he or she belonged to that early. We are formed early on by the things we learn, the experiences we have. Jesus was formed too. He was born to Mary, who we believe was a young teenage mother. His father, Joseph, who took him in, he was a carpenter. He was a tradesman. He worked with his hands. We would call him blue collar today. His parents were simple. And Jesus grew up with their love, with their guidance, with their teaching, with their shortcomings. Just like we grew up with our family's shortcomings. You may have seen the maps before, and I'm not used to preaching with PowerPoints. I don't think about using these pictures, so you'll just have to imagine it. So Jesus, as you know, traveled mostly around the Sea of Galilee, right? There's a lot of Galilee talk, and he's dismissed as one of those Galileans, which already tells you something, right? It already tells you something. So the Sea of Galilee is north of Jerusalem, and Nazareth is at the southern edge of the Sea of Galilee. And then further northwest is Syrophoenicia, the region of Tyre, which features one of the people from today's gospel reading. But then southeast of the Sea of Galilee is the region called the Decapolis, which is a Greek word, which probably should also tell you something. So Jesus grew up in a place that was outside of the center. It was outside of Jerusalem. It was in a place that was dismissed by the people in the know, by the powerful. And it was on the edge of his people's civilization, the Jewish people's civilization. They were at the borderlands. I imagine that even though Mary and Joseph were clearly in tune with God, because Mary talked to the angel Gabriel, Joseph had the angel visit and say, "Take her, Joseph, as your wife. Don't mess this up now." They were in tune with God, but they were human, like us. And so they had the same prejudices and preconceptions that we do. And so I imagine Jesus growing up as a little boy, hearing his parents say things like, "Oh, the people from Tyre, you just can't trust them. Oh, those people from the Decapolis, they speak a different language. It's hard to understand what they're saying." Not malicious, not ill-meaning, but lessons that you learn as a little child. My father was a career Navy officer, and so I learned a lot of very particular lessons about time, about how you do things correctly. And I realized as an adult, because it takes coming into adulthood for us to realize our lessons, I realized as an adult that one of the lessons I learned as a little girl is that people should be neat and clean, shipshape. Mm-hmm. Right? They should be tidy. Their hair should be cut in a certain way. They're relaxing that now in the military, recognizing that there are many ways to wear a person's hair. But when my dad was in the Navy, hair was to be worn in a very particular way. These were not lessons that were spoken to me, but I learned them. I learned them deeply and well. And when I see someone passing on the street or, you know, in a store, if I see somebody whose clothes are torn, who looks a little shabby, whose hair isn't shipshape, my instinct, my gut reaction, my initial response is dismissive. Because that's what I was taught as a little girl from someone I love very, very much. Jesus has gone to a place, he's looking for some quiet time. Everywhere he goes, the mobs come and they surround him and they want him. They want his attention, they want his touch, they want his prayers, they want his teaching, and he wants some quiet. So he goes to the outside place, he crosses the border into the borderlands looking for just a little break. And there, a Syrophoenician woman who's Greek, the other word for that is Gentile, so not Jewish, a foreigner who speaks a different language from a different religion, comes to him and asks for him to heal her daughter. I will not defend Jesus' words to her. It's not right to give the children's food to the dogs. Those are not kind words. They're not. But I believe in that moment, in his fatigue, in his weariness, in his desire for just a break, I believe Jesus spoke out of that gut place, out of his instinct, out of his childhood, out of the lessons he learned growing up in Nazareth at the borderland. I believe he spoke out of a place that the words didn't come from his brain. And they didn't come from his heart. They came from his gut. Just like when I see somebody who's a little, not shipshape, Jesus spoke from that place of childhood conditioning. It is not right to give a children's food to the dogs. And he was wrong. the gift he was given in that moment, she had the courage and the strength to let him know that he was wrong. She had the courage and the love for her daughter that allowed her to push past what must have been painful to hear. Because if you've never been called a dog by somebody, you don't know the deep, sharp stab to the heart that is. But she pushed past that because she wanted her daughter to be healed. She pushed past the embarrassment. And she responded to him. Even the dogs get the crumbs. Now in this moment, Jesus has a choice. He is fully human. He is fully divine. Most of us who are only fully human, most of us would respond defensively. We know when we respond out of that instinctual place, when we come out of that gut reaction, we know when it's wrong. We know when the words have come out of our mouths and we think, I should not have said that. I can't believe that just came right out of me because it came from my gut and not my head and not my heart. We know. We know when we have said something that we didn't truly mean to say. But we, as fully human, fallen, broken people, we who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, when we're called on it, when we have somebody brave enough to say, I can't believe you just said that to me, we usually respond defensively or with anger. We bristle. We don't want to be called out. We don't want to be wrong. We say, well, you deserved it. Or, I didn't say that. You heard me wrong. You didn't understand what I meant. Right? Are you replaying an uncomfortable scene in your head? I've got several going on right now. Jesus is fully divine and fully human. He responded out of the love of God. He didn't get defensive. He didn't shut her down. He didn't say, how dare you? Do you know who I am? You are talking to the Son of God, and I could call 10,000 angels to this spot, this moment. How dare you challenge me? That's not what he did. He responded out of love. And the humility that divine love gives us, because it is humility born out of love that helps us be able to say, I am sorry. Please forgive me. And so Jesus had his instinct, his gut response challenged. And he was able to correctly respond to that challenge. Go, your daughter's made well. This is our challenge, each and every day, sometimes every moment of every day. The instincts that we have as we see people, as we interact with people, the things we learned as children, they're not under our control. They're not something we can simply push aside and turn off because they're deep within us. We learn them as infants. But what we can do is shift them. What we can do is choose not to say those words, not to act on the instinct. What we can do is follow as our Savior leads us, which of course is what we want. What we can do is respond out of the love of God and not out of that initial instinct. Jesus went from his encounter with the woman out in Tyre, and he traveled to the Decapolis, another place that was outside, another place that was different, another place that was not his home and his people. And there he again was mobbed. There he again did not get a break. There he again was approached by somebody needing, wanting, healing, wanting fullness of life. Jesus heals this man. And as he does, the Gospel of Mark tells us, he sighs. And then he speaks a word that means, be opened. And the man who couldn't hear and who really couldn't speak suddenly can hear and speak. But I don't think Jesus was saying, be open to that man. I think Jesus was saying it to himself. It is when our hearts are open to the love of God. It is when we rely first on the Holy Spirit and not on what's in our guts that we're able to see one another as beloved children. I think Jesus was saying to himself, be open. Love. Love is what I'm here for. You know the verse out of the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world. The world. Not just me. Not just the important people. Whatever that means. Not just you who have somehow made it into this church building today. Not just the Presbyterian Church. Not even just Christians or Jews. For God so loved the world. I think Jesus was saying to himself, be open to this amazing, divine, abundant, never-ending, always new, always available love. Be open to the possibilities of what God can do when we look to God and not to our inner selves. Be open to the people, the beautiful people that God has created and called very, very good. Be open. My friends, you are in this process of opening yourselves anew. Opening yourselves to one another. Opening yourselves to your neighborhood. Opening yourselves to the possibilities of what God is already doing and is inviting you to step into. You will get tripped up by your instincts. You will get tripped up by your gut responses. You will. Because we're human. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that no one may boast. You will say things out of your gut that you regret and wish you could take back. In those moments, follow Jesus. And instead of being defensive and bristling up, say, I'm sorry. I love you. Help me love you better. As you open up, as you reach out, as you seek to be a place where all people are welcome, where all people from all languages and all colors and all places and all, as they come looking for a safe place where they can be loved, be open. Open to the Spirit's movement, open to the love of God, open to the example of our Lord, who allowed himself to be corrected so that we could learn. Love God completely. It's my paraphrase of heart, mind, soul, strength, right? Love God completely. And it is out of that love that you will, instinct aside, gut reactions pushed away, you will indeed love your neighbors as yourselves. May God make it so. Amen.